Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's spend some time in prayer as we begin our Sunday school hour. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. You've given us this beautiful day, and we're grateful that we might be able to come here together and to celebrate the provision you've given to us of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are not a people who are here alone, without hope, without guidance, without direction, but we have your personal and immediate direction over us, that we might be able to have knowledge and understanding and exercise wisdom as you would make it available. We thank you for each one who's here. We thank you that you would be able to bring us together and that you would strengthen and bless each one. I thank you that we might be able to spend time in your scriptures, that we might be able to have our hearts encouraged, that we might be able to remember some things that you have given to us, taught us, that it might be, I pray, an encouragement to our hearts in this remembrance. I thank you in the name of my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I'd like to spend a little bit of time looking into the area of who is Jesus, and in particular, we'd be looking in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And as we go into this area, there's a lot of things that this particular chapter deals with and the book itself. But in particular, I would like to spend time as to the nature and the character of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And probably two areas we'll look at as we would have time. One has to do with He who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and then He who is the light, firstborn to care for us and encourage us. In Colossians chapter 1, I'd like to read a few verses, verse 13 through 20, and then we'll go back and perhaps meditate upon some of these things that are there. Colossians 1:13, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven. So as we spend some time in this area, I thought that this was a particularly poignant, very plain description of who our Lord Jesus Christ is. And sometimes when we're out working with people, I think this question should be one which is brought up. I think we have a lot of people in our area who perhaps understand that there is such a thing as church, or there's such a thing as those who call themselves Christians. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, is there a place where we can turn and say, this is who he is, this is what he's done, this is why it's important to know who he is? And so this is a short and concise passage that we could turn to here in the first chapter of Colossians, and verses 13 through 20. And I would guess that if you were to ask people, and perhaps even coming to our own mind, it might be hard to give a list. This is who our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, is. This is why it's important that we know Him, that we know about Him, and that we trust in Him, because of all of these things that are listed here in this passage. Now, as I said this morning, I want to spend a little bit of time first talking about verse 13. It says, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That last word in that verse is pretty significant, because that next verse says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, darkness is a description of the way in which most people probably live. They live in darkness. Now, darkness is a symbol of sin. How many people know the difference between sin and righteousness? Now, you may put someone on a stand on a court, and do you know the difference between truth and falsehood? If they were to ask that question, do you know the difference between that which is right and that which is sin? They might say yes, but then you'd say, okay, explain it to me. Then they lose. Then that becomes difficult, because they're going to tell you a list of things that they think are right and a list of things that they don't like. But then you have to ask the question, how do you know? How do you know? Is it because it's your opinion? If you are giving that opinion there as a person in court, we had a fellow who has just been convicted of manslaughter and basically I think it's they're saying murder is the real situation, and yet as you read the newspapers and the follow up to that trial that was just concluded, I don't believe he thinks that he should have been convicted of that. I gathered that from the discussions that went on before, he basically thought, well, you know, I made a mistake, but to blame me for murder, that's not right. And so, now in this case, as the newspaper gave the information here in this last couple of days, they convicted him of one who was responsible for the death of this individual. And I don't think he was of that opinion as he was moving into the court case. And so there's of different opinions. Now, who's right? Well, in the civil situation, the jury made the decision. They presented it to the judge, and he will pay the penalty for what they have decided. And then I could still ask you, who is right? And it may be that this fellow's mother, his family, might say, you know, that was a bum rap. He got stuck. And yet the family of the fellow who died, they would say, that was justice. That was correct. That was right. And we're not living in a society today who seems to understand that. Now, in the newspaper this morning and on the internet and probably on your television news programs, we have a fellow, maybe more than one, who decided that it was correct to have revenge. If one of my people dies, two of your people die. And so they went out and shot two police officers. Now, who's right? Where is right? Where is wrong? Where is justice? Where is darkness? And here we have a passage that begins to discuss this area of darkness. Who hath delivered us, that's Jesus, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Darkness is sin. It has to do with error. It has to do with misery and death. And we live in a world which is just absolutely seeming to overflow with these kinds of situations, defining what's right and what's wrong, what's sin and what's not sin, righteousness, I guess, is the contrast, error as opposed to that which is correct, and misery and death. Misery and death seems to just wash over our community left and right. We have, whether it's high places of government, middle places of government, low places of government, whether it has to do with the community and the neighborhood or somewhere else, these kinds of things seem to be growing and growing and growing. In fact, one of the things that I saw a little video the other day concerning was a fellow from communist China who came over here and was doing some political studies, and one of the reporters got a hold of him and asked him, now that you've been here for a period of time and have studied the things that are going on, what was one of the most important things that have impressed you concerning what you found here in the United States? And his comment was that as far as our form of government and the way it works, he said it probably wouldn't work in most places in the rest of the world because you folks have a degree of religion that is unusual and unique. He said, if you lose, and you seem to be doing this, if you lose the religious character and the nature of your country, he says you won't be able to hire enough police to take care of the sorrows and the wickedness that would go on and take its place. So I thought that was an interesting comment. So we're having the contrast between darkness and light, and here we find that we give thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light in Colossians chapter 1:12. Now, verse 13, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, when did people enter in and begin entering into the power of darkness? See, now, who has the realm of darkness? That'd probably be one of the questions that we would ask here. Who is in charge of darkness, and when do people enter in to this darkness? Now, if Satan, as we would see, is basically the originator of darkness that would take place, then, and he is the prince of the power of the air, as Ephesians would teach us. If he's the one who is in charge of the realm of darkness, then when do people enter in to that realm, that dominion of darkness? And the only way we would be able to come to an answer to that, it would be to say, well, it would have to be when they were born. And the reason we would ask or make that observation is that when Jesus and the New Testament begins to teach us that we are born again in Christ Jesus, then we're talking about a first birth, and then we would be talking about a second birth. And so here we are in this world. When anyone is naturally born, I had a chance to see Samuel Grimm last night briefly. A little baby, he's not real big, but boy, was he bright-eyed, especially earlier in the evening. And just as, you know, enthusiastic and excited to meet with people till he wore out, and then he just kind of ignored everything, But here we have a little boy. He was born in darkness. You were born in darkness. I was born in darkness. Everybody is born in the realm and the dominion of darkness. And Satan is the prince of the power of the air who is in charge over all of this. And when we understand that, and we take that as a basic presumption, then we can understand that those who are born in darkness are going to do the works of darkness. They're going to do the things of darkness. And so when we would complain about this official or that circumstance or whatever's going on, folks, this is natural. It is unnatural to be born again and to be in the realm of light. And one who is in darkness also is not able to understand, not able to perceive that there is a standard which is above that darkness. They presume that what is right in my own eyes, or right according to some authority which is over me, is right because they have that authority. They have that right. Or because I'm my own God, and I make my own determinations as to right and wrong, and if it happens to conflict with you, it's then who's the stronger. And this is a presumption that is basically running through college campuses, it's running through the streets, it's running through government. We complain that someone in government is producing a bill that is in the county or in the state or in the federal area, and we don't like it. And we tell them so, and they say, so? It's your opinion versus my opinion. And I think it seems to be right in my own eyes, and so you don't like it. So you don't like it. But I'm going to vote for it because it seems good to me. Now, the question has to do with who is the authority? Where is the birth coming from? And if they're born in darkness, then sin and error and misery and death and all of this would seem right to them. We talk about a group of people in Pakistan who go into a school and kill 100 children or whatever, 50 children. And we say, that's evil. That's terrible. Well, if you're born in darkness, there's no way to make a comparison as to whether it's right or wrong, except it seems good to me because I want to have a certain amount of control and authority over these people who are there or over this government, and so I'm going to do that. It seems right in their own eyes, but they live in darkness because they don't see the God of heaven who has authority over them or righteousness over them. So here we have this situation that seems to be very, very difficult. Now let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 67. I want to read through a few verses here. Luke 1, beginning in 67. Now, we're looking at Zacharias. Also, the context of this is that it's related to the birth of the Lord Jesus. Zacharias would be, Elizabeth would be his wife, and she would be the cousin of Mary. This is related to the introduction to John the Baptist. And so this is concerning his father, John's father. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Now, apparently, they were in a bad situation. If they need to be visited, they need to be redeemed. "And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." So salvation was necessary. Salvation was not known. "As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear." That's an interesting comment. Delivered out of the hands of enemies, might be able to serve the one who has authority, who does the delivering, without fear. Now, there are some occasions where there's authorities which would come and perhaps deliver a people out of the hand of someone else. I can think of Russia coming into Poland or maybe even East Germany and delivering those folks out of the hand of Hitler. But to serve without fear, that's a whole different thing. So this is a different kind of authority. This is a different kind of power. This is a different kind of provision that's there. To serve him without fear. And notice the nature. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for he shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, is this not a suggestion that the people of Israel were in darkness? To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And definitely, there are a people, and my opinion is that it is one of the purposes of Israel was to be a testimony of light to the rest of the world. They weren't just an isolated people only to be blessed by God. They were there for a purpose because the rest of the world was in darkness too. So to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So here we have the provision that looks forward to our Savior Lord Jesus Christ as the one who would be a provider of light. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, I'd like to begin reading in verse 14. Now, in this portion here, we have the testimony of Paul's salvation, but in regard to this, he's giving testimony to the king, Agrippa, and let's say verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Now, up to this point, the presumption here is that he's been walking in a condition, a status of darkness. Okay? I saw a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, and I thought that was an interesting phrasing, when who were fallen to the earth? It says what? We. So it wasn't just Saul that had fallen to the earth when all of this took place. It says we were fallen, all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. And notice the next phrase, to open their eyes. Now, if their eyes were closed, there had to have been a status of darkness, blindness. To open their eyes and to turn them from what? From darkness to light. Right. So here we see that the purpose of God, and it's related to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there are people who need to be delivered, and the purpose is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of whom? Yeah, from the power of Satan unto God. So we're talking about two kingdoms. We're talking about two authorities. In darkness, we have Satan. In light, we have God. And we have too much of the world, from my point of view, way too much of the world, who was born in darkness, is living in darkness, and they need to be turned to light. Now, in Arizona and California and New York City and other major metropolitan areas, we have people that are complaining bitterly against this authority or that's a governmental situation, saying that we're being terribly beat up and our civil rights are being destroyed. Well, they may have complaint, all right, but how is that going to solve the situation just to demonstrate and just to go and tear down and destroy the store windows and burn the cars and shoot this person or shoot that person? It may be personal revenge that might be taking place, but that's not according to light for one to do that either. The situation for the dealing of an injustice is to allow justice to operate. We have to understand that it isn't a civil right. It has to do with justice and equity and doing that which is according to authority, which comes from God. And that's the way our nation was organized. But we're going to destroy this by fighting for civil rights when we need to be fighting for justice and a judicial carrying out of a thing which is according to righteousness. And so civil rights, as I would look at it at least from this morning, has to do with revenge or has to do with complaint. But how do you deal with a policeman or how do you deal with a legislator of whatever level you want, township? How do you deal with these people who are born in darkness and expect them to do right, especially if you go and beat on them? How do you expect them to know the right? And they'll say, you say it's right, I say it's wrong. It's an opinion. So we have to build a level of authority from which one comes and also to show why it's right. And how can we expect our legislator to know those kind of things if we only complain? But if we come alongside them and get to know them and teach them concerning that which is the difference between that which is light, which comes from God, and that which is darkness, which comes from the realm of Satan, and also explain to them that there is a difference between these two and that there is one who can give us, even place into our heart, a status whereby we receive light because we're born again into a new kingdom. And we befriend them and work with them, this is going to be a whole lot more effective means whereby we're able to deal with the kind of, quote, civil problems that we have. Because then they know where right comes from, and then they can choose to do right or wrong. And at this point, while they're in darkness, they don't know what to choose from. The only choices they have is from this wrong or that wrong or this wrong or that wrong. But if we come alongside them and encourage them and teach them what is the difference between right and wrong, then we're able to go somewhere. And this is what Paul was told to do here, or Saul, I guess his name was at this point, was that he was to go and to teach them concerning that which is according to light. And so here we have this comparison, which is extremely powerful and should get us a whole lot farther. But, of course, there's a problem there. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance from among them which are sanctified by faith, that is, in me. verse 18 of 26 Acts, we find that this does take more work in a lot of ways, a lot more effort. In order to gain someone's trust, where they'll listen to you and talk to you, doesn't happen in the first year. It may not happen in the sixth year. It may take 10 years or 20 years to come alongside some of these folks. And this is why Pastor has been saying in days gone by, he says, you need to get to know your neighbors. You need to get to know these people that you're going to witness to. It takes time and effort and work, maybe a lot of cookies, I don't know, whatever it takes to get where you're getting into their life and into their heart. But over the period of time, as we would do this as people of a church, of people who are born into the kingdom of light, we then, over this period of time, this is one of the main areas of effectiveness that we're able to enjoy, but we have to do the work of it. And we have to sacrifice our own personal lives and the personal things that we would enjoy in order to get into this place whereby we might have a hearing and we might be able to teach them, and we teach them point by point by point. I learned something the other day that I thought was interesting. I happened to attend a commission meeting at the county, and the commission meetings, I'm beginning to learn, has basically two parts. One is that they have proclamations that are made. And the other part is that they then may hire people or pay bills or maybe arrange for a project to be started or carried on or changes take place and finished. But the proclamation area is the area where I thought was particularly interesting. That we as believers should perhaps be going to the commission and these different levels of government and saying, this is important in the life of Grace Baptist Church and Union and various churches through the area. This particular issue is something that is important. We think it ought to be brought up to the public. And so we, Mr. Commissioner, or three commissioners, we would like you to consider posting a proclamation that this would be considered January 22nd. I don't know if there's any significance to that date or not. Just picking it out of the air. January 22nd, that we would say this ought to be a day set apart for justice to be worked in our community, and then define what justice is. And this would be Justice Day. And we would proclaim that this would be a possibility. Now, I'll tell you what. At this last meeting, there were four proclamations that were made, and not any of them had to do with reference to scriptural truth. So somebody's out there devising all these proclamations to be brought up at this meeting and the next meeting and the meeting after, and they're coming up with these proclamations all the time. And the commissioners, depending upon the light that they have as they would relate to the scriptures, are going to say, well, okay, this group finds it interesting. We'll allow them to make that proclamation and we'll publish it under the commission meetings. Now, if that proclamation is according to darkness, what's being taught to our community? Because the newspapers oftentimes will pick this up and publish that. So are we going to ask for things like this? Are we going to get close enough to people like this to whereby that which is according to light is considered important in our community? I've been researching it, but I'm wondering if there's been any proclamation in the last 10 years given under the county commission, which meets twice a month. So that's 100 times a year. And if there's two or three proclamations with that, look at the host of proclamations that have been according to darkness potentially that could be there when we would have an opportunity to ask for a proclamation to be done for that which is right. And so I've been thinking on this a little bit, and Pastor had a deal regarding the police And he thought that they ought to be encouraged and supported as they do right. Well, maybe we should think about this in the future as a people. Maybe we need to write one and submit it to the commission and 2 or 3 or 4 weeks later say today or February is we support the Sheriff Day or we support the whatever, you know. And because they provide to us safety and peace, and that is something that the world in darkness cannot provide. See how this kind of thing works, darkness and light, and how we need to be involved in our world. And this is one way of witnessing, and there's another way of witnessing that we might be able to enter in and causing a little bit of discussion. And if we cause a discussion, we can then relate that discussion to the Scriptures and say, oh yeah, we found that here in this passage of Scripture, and we thought it was important because it has to do with good. It has to do with light. It has to do with righteousness. And so these kinds of things perhaps would be something we should consider. Let's go to Romans 13:12. I want to read just a few quick scriptures here. Romans 13:12. It tells us there, verse 11, and that knowing the time that now is high time to awaken out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night, darkness, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And then notice how we're to walk in those following verses. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth in him shall not be confounded. Your likelihood of being confounded would be a lot higher in darkness, wouldn't it? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. By the way, stumbling has to do with darkness more often than light. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. See the difference between a nation of darkness and light? A holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. So, one more verse is 1 John chapter 2. 1 has to do with after coming to light. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He saith unto, he that saith, he abideth in him. Now, if you're abiding in him, I presume you're in light. Ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. Has to do with someone born again, obviously. The darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we might be able to spend some time looking into the Scriptures. I pray that as we consider the difference between light and darkness, and that Jesus has come, born into this world to give us light, that we might be able to walk in light and no longer in darkness. Oh, Father, I pray that everyone here is born again into the new kingdom of light. And I pray, Father, that all desires here this morning will be that light will be their pathway and lighting of all of their doings. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.